I want to welcome and thank everyone who could come here today for this memorial service for Jessica Moreno. It's a blessing to see everyone here, and I know that a lot of you loved her, and so I hope that you're going to see that the Lord gives His comfort to His children. And I want to mention that this service is being recorded, and so if you want a copy of the service, we're going to have that available. Just talk to me after the service. I'd like to begin by reading a few verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And verse 14 says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. Jessica Moreno was born on February the 8th, 1965. And in 2009, I believe, was the time when she was baptized, because she made a profession of faith, and that was really the beginning of her real life, of her spiritual life. And then on January 16th, 2014, at the age of 48, she passed away to be with the Lord. I'd like to read to you Psalm 23, which speaks of the Lord as our shepherd. And remember, this was Jessica's shepherd, because He led her all the way. And He took her even through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 says, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we want to remember this because this is a real blessing for those who are believers. And even in death, the Lord is still our shepherd. And remember that Jessica had a great God who took good care of her. And I'd like us to sing hymn number 77, which is really singing Psalm 23. So please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 77. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that even though we come together and with heavy hearts because of the loss of Jessica Moreno, and yet we look around and we see she's not here with us. We loved her company. We loved to see her at church. We loved to hear her and to give her words of encouragement. And she's not here anymore. And so, God, we come before You with heavy hearts, and yet We know that there's hope because of Jesus Christ. And we know, God, that you offer this because of your goodness and mercy. We pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are mourning her absence, and that you would comfort their souls, comfort their hearts, and make them see that you are a good God. That death is an enemy that you have come to conquer. That if they are to be angry, they should be angry at the sin that causes death, and not the God who brings life after death. We pray, Lord, that you would show us this great light, and that we would see, and that we would be able to entrust ourselves in your hands, no matter what happens, even when death comes to people that we love. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us as we go through, as we mourn, and as we seek your comfort and your hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we have the words of remembrance, we're going to sing another hymn. I'd like you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 579. At this point, I'd like to invite Angela to come and first read Jessica's testimony to you when she first got baptized at Mountain Reformed Church.
Okay. We all gave our testimony at church 5 years ago, I guess, 4 years ago. And Jessica wrote this not long after she was baptized. So, as a baby, I was baptized Catholic. My family I didn't go to church, nor did I ever go to Sunday school for catechism. We just didn't talk about it. All I was told was there's a God who's in heaven, and that's where we go when we die. Once in a while, I would hear my friends mention they sleep in church. I thought, so why go when it's boring and I'd fall asleep? A child would rather play and have fun. I remember when we spent time at my grandpa's ranch. I'd see my grandfather reading a book. Curious, I asked, what you're reading? The Bible, I was told, not knowing what it was about. When I married, my in-laws told me it was time I went to church with my two daughters. Not knowing what I had missed and was missing, I said, no, thank you. I don't go, never have. About 15 or 20 years ago, God put the special lady in my life. She's speaking about my mother. Not knowing why, I just thought she was another family member. For a long time, she asked me to go to church with her. Again, I said, no, thank you. Never have, never will. Not knowing the future, I'd be standing in church giving my testimony. About 1.5 or 2 years ago, I was brought here to Mountain Reformed Baptist Church by this special person. Today, I want to say thank you. For what? The special lady introducing me to believe in a God I never had in my life. I never thought I'd be saying these words and feeling what I feel in my heart. A God who I trust in and believe in. I try to live by his Ten Commandments as best I can. No matter what I know, he loves me and won't abandon me as I've abandoned him. No matter what, I pray God to help me never do it again, never stop believing or trusting him. I never thought life could be so good, no matter how bad things get. I know my life will be fine. I want to finish by saying thank you, Jesus, for a good pastor, my church family, and I know all will be well. I just have to keep God in my life. I love you. Blessed be my sovereign Lord.
I'd like to invite Jeff to come and give his word of remembrance.
Good afternoon. You know, the memorial services and funerals of a Christian are kind of on the odd side because we're very sad they're gone, but at the same time, they're with the Lord. And we're going to go there too someday if we're in Christ. I'm going to share some things about Jessica. And I'll also include some of the things that my wife observed. Now, those of you who know me know that I like food. Okay, and I noticed that this is true of Jessica. She liked food too. And she was pleased to cook something for the church up there on Sunday afternoons for their luncheons that they had each week. And she was thoughtful too about the luncheons. As a matter of fact, she was extra thoughtful about the adults in some ways, because the children at Mountain Reform, they have a tendency to have sticky fingers and a sweet tooth. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying, you know, they like to eat sweets. Well, Jessica was thoughtful because some of us who have that child inside with the sweet tooth still didn't always get to the snacks that quickly, get to the desserts. So she would save some back for us, grown-ups. Okay. And so we got to have some goodies. Now, Veronica says that Jessica was full of smiles, loving, welcoming, thoughtful, and kind. Veronica complimented Jessica on her kindness, and she laughed and said, "Not everyone would say that about me." In fact, I'm sure that Jessica's family and friends can come up with a list of her faults. But then that would be true for each of us, right? Our friends and family could find a list of our faults. Now, if you think about God's list, what if God kept a list of our sins? That list would be longer and more detailed. But the list that God had for Jessica was blank. And it was blank because God wrote Jessica's sins on Christ. And this is true for all of us who are truly believing in Jesus, because Jessica did. When I was thinking about this and thinking about Jessica, I remember a story from the Bible. It was about the children. And if you remember an incident in the Bible, it appears in three of the Gospels, when children were brought to Jesus, and this is when the disciples prevented them. This is in Matthew 19. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And earlier in Scripture, in response to his disciples arguing about who is greatest in heaven, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now let me ask you a question about children. Do 3 or 4 or 5-year-olds obey consistently? Not really. Okay. Trust me, I have some. Okay. No, but if you show children love and affection, don't they return it with interest? Do they know that they are weaker than the grown-ups? Do they call on their parents when they are in need? If you give them a gift, are they happy to receive it? When they are corrected, they often hold the parent all the tighter and say, "I'm sorry, Daddy," or "I'm sorry, Mommy." They have a sense of wonder when they learn new things. I've seen these characteristics in Jessica. When I preached or taught Sunday school, I'd see Jessica sitting in the back row, and she'd lean over, you know, the chair in front, and she'd be focused on what I was saying very intently. And when we were done, she would ask what books that I referenced. She wanted the titles and the authors. And I found out that later on she'd go and purchase some of them. And I'm sure all those who preached up there had a similar experience. She would ask them, "Well, what was your reference?" If it was something out of the Bible or something from Sunday school that we referred to. She wanted to know God's word and know it rightly. So she would ask questions afterwards of the sermon. And I also heard her once make the statement, and she had a sense of wonder in her statement. She said, "I didn't know we had to repent every day." And she marveled at that because she learned something new. Jessica was eager to hear God's word, and she was happy to learn new things about God and his word. Back to my wife, Veronica says that Jessica was delighted to have attended the women's retreat. And then I heard later that she was eager for the next one coming up. And that she made friends with the women there. And that she noticed that Jessica appreciated God's word and made it known to those who would listen. When I visited the hospital this last time, I saw Jessica's son and daughter, Stephanie, by their mother's bedside. And you can see the love that they had for their mom, and holding her hand and waiting. And I know she loved them. She called them her babies, and she loved her grandbabies. We know it's no secret that Jessica had issues, but those bad characteristics that got people hurt, angered, or confused about her are gone. Because why? She is with the Lord. Those characteristics of being loving, kind, and open to God are now magnified. And so she loves her children all the more. She loves us all the more, her brethren. I want to leave you with two quotes from Jessica. As you know, Jessica put a lot of stuff on Facebook. She put her frustrations on Facebook sometimes, and she also put her joys. And there's one irritating thing about Jessica I do have to bring up. Her Facebook shorthand. If you ever tried to read it, it's very hard. So bear with me as I translate what she wrote, okay? And this is from March 26th of 2013. I'm quoting, "The most precious holiday of our lives. 2,000 years ago on Friday, the Lord was crucified, and on Sunday he resurrected. Not before promising he will be back for his children. Be one of those people, his elect. I am, don't be afraid. Beg him for forgiveness. Repent of your sins. Get regenerated and live by the Ten Commandments. He's asking, not me. I'm just asking, do it now before it's too late. We never know when he's coming back. Only he knows. Have a blessed Easter holiday and remember the Lord as you celebrate with your family and friends. May God bless you all." This last one is from April 24th, 2013. "Good AM, all my Facebook friends and family. Hope you all have a wonderful day, as I know I will, only because of my Lord Jesus Christ. He's so gracious to me. Thank you, my Lord, for being so good to me. I pass this on to all of you. Share if you want someone else to have, I think it's so someone else can have all the Lord's gracious love. Love you all and have a great day. God bless you all."
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Angela. Well, before we go to the message, first I want to read Psalm 34. Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." And we say amen to that. Well, let's sing hymn number 599. Turn in your hymnals to hymn number 599. Well, let's pray again before the message. Father, we thank you for the hope that you provide to us. And God, we don't want to hear a false hope. We want a real hope. And so we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would make us see that there is a real hope. And give us comfort and bring your salvation even closer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess the first question that I should answer is, where's Jessica now? Her body has been cremated. We don't even have her ashes here. And so where is she now? And those of you who know, we're not just made up of bodies, we also have a soul. So the question would be, well, if her body is dead, where's her soul now? Where is she? Well, the Bible is very clear that there are two destinations after death. There's one destination for the righteous, and there's one destination for the wicked. The righteous, when they die, they go to be with the Lord, where they wait for the resurrection of their bodies, where they're going to be with the Lord forever. But the wicked, when they die, they go to a very terrible place, where they await the final judgment, where they're also going to be raised, but unto eternal death, eternal punishment. So the question is, where is she? And I don't want to give you false hope. And this is really important because a lot of people, when you go to funerals or memorial services, they tell you, well, they're dead, so they're in a better place. Well, the question is, how do you know they're in a better place? And I'm not here to just tell you she's in a better place because I want to make you feel good about yourself. I'm not here to give you false hope. I'm here to tell you what the Lord says, what God has revealed to us. And I believe I can give you real hope because of that, because of Jesus Christ, and because she looked to him for salvation. That makes all the difference in the world. You see, if Jessica had not professed faith in Jesus Christ, I could not give you that hope. If she had not professed faith in Jesus, I could not tell you that she's in a better place right now. But because she did, I can offer you a hope. I can tell you that she did the right profession. She did look to Jesus for her salvation. She looked to him. And as far as I'm concerned, I have to take that profession of faith for what it's worth. I can't see through the heart. I don't know if the condition of her heart was such that her profession, but as far as I'm concerned, I have to take her profession of faith for what it is. And I have to tell you, she made the right profession. In spite of her struggle with sin, and many of you know she struggled, but like Jeff mentioned, who doesn't? It's not about being perfect in this life. And people, even when they become saved, they still struggle with sin. They still struggle, but there's a difference. The heart doesn't love it anymore. Because you've been born again, you're grieved by your sin. And I did see that grief in Jessica. I had to deal with her, and I saw she had true repentance. She wanted to get out of this sin that she struggled with. And she was willing to listen to me and to do whatever I told her. I said, look, this is where I want you to go. And she said, Pastor, I'll do whatever you tell me. And those of you who know, she would send words of encouragement. She sent me a bunch of emails to encourage me as a pastor. Same for Shana. Pastor Steve, he got a bunch of her messages as well. She would encourage Pastor Jeff. She would encourage people who were in the ministry because she loved the Lord. She loved his church. And she wanted the servants of the Lord to be encouraged. And to me, that's a great encouragement. I saw there was a heart that really loved God in spite of sin. And that makes all the difference in the world because when you have to stand before the judge of all the earth, you're going to stand either in your sin or in Christ. And for her, when she stands before the Lord and she's going to be judged by his standards, she's going to have the righteousness of Christ given to her. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because if you don't have that perfect righteousness, you will not be able to stand faultless before him. And you will be guilty. If you want to listen, I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 3. And I want you to ask yourself, do you agree with God? Do you agree with his verdict? This is his verdict when he looks at men and women in this world. Romans 3, verses 9 through 27. It says, "For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. Oh no, not one. Not one understands. Not one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. And the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith." So this passage, do you agree with this? This is God's verdict. Well, Jessica agreed with that verdict. She said, "Yes, this is me. I'm one of those who is a sinner, who is worthless. I did not even seek after God." And therefore, she knew she could not be justified by keeping the law. She understood there's only one way, because if you have sinned, you have broken God's law. But you can be justified if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Because he was the propitiation for your sins, so that he would take the wrath of God away from you. He took it upon himself at the cross for everyone who would believe in him, so that they could be the righteousness of God. Because believe me, God will uphold justice. He will not wink at sin. And she recognized that. She knew that she did not have what it takes to stand faultless before God. She wasn't good enough. She needed a Savior. And so she called out to Jesus Christ, because she knew that was her only hope. And so she called out to him. And when she did that, all of her sins were taken away. All of her sins were laid at the cross. All her failures as a mother. All her failures as a wife. All her failures as a friend. Jesus took them all away at the cross, all because she cried out to him for salvation. And I want you to listen to Jesus' own words from John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus says, "All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So do you see what Jesus said? Whoever comes to him, he will never drive away. Whoever comes to him, he will raise them up at the last day. Whoever comes to him, he will give them eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Do you want life after death? Well, Jesus offers that life. And outside of him, you will not find him. Because only Jesus has the power to give you life. Only he has the authority and the power to take your life out of the grave. He only has that authority to raise you from the dead. So the question becomes, who are you trusting to take your life back from the grave? Because you will die one day. And so the question is, will there be anyone to take your life back, to grant you life after death? Because no human being has that power. No creature has that power. Only God has that power. And only Jesus Christ can do this for you. So have you called to him for salvation? Those of you who know Jessica, you know she was a sinner. But she knew her Savior. And we shouldn't think that we're any better. We are also sinners. And we also need a Savior, just like she did. If you want to have real hope after death, you need to call upon the name of Jesus. You need to make sure you don't ignore him. Don't ignore the fact everyone dies one day. Everyone has to face God on judgment. Come to him for salvation. The last thing I want to say, it's normal to cry. Even though we know Jessica believed in the Lord Jesus, we still mourn for her absence. That's normal. Death is not a pretty thing, part of the curse. And so it's normal to mourn, but we don't mourn as the world does. Because we know there's something better. If we believe in Jesus, we know there's hope even after death. And we know that Jessica really is in a better place right now. And these are not just words. These are not just empty words. This is the truth. She really is in a better place right now. And as we look forward to that day when there will be no more death, we look forward to the day when we will be reunited with the Lord if we believe in him. And we will be reunited also with brothers and sisters in the Lord who have passed away, like Jessica Moreno. And we give thanks to God for that. Because Jesus will never drive you away if you come to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the real hope that you have given to us. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just words to give you a little bit of comfort. But Lord, we know that these are true words because you have spoken those words to us. You, the giver of life, you have granted to us to know that in Jesus Christ, we have victory even over death. And we thank you for Jessica's profession of faith. We thank you, Lord, that you offer this salvation even to wretched sinners like we are. We ask, God, that by your Spirit, you would comfort those who are mourning, that you would wipe their tears away, and that you would make them rest in your mercies, and to know that you are a good God, and you have good thoughts towards your children. And we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's finish by singing hymn number 500. Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 500. Well, thank you everyone for coming. We're going to have some refreshments. If you go through this door, there's a building over there, so we can have a little bit of time of fellowship. But thank you everyone, and if you need to talk to me, you can find me right here. Thank you. God bless you.